Wednesday at 8:30 or so is the time for our weekly Vents Day segment here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley.
And I'm Emily Curitan. This week, we want to know about your healthcare experiences in the state of Jefferson. Good, bad, or just unusual? And zooming out from there, how would you change the existing healthcare system? We've got some healthcare-related ballot measures to talk about as well. This week's survey asks, how accessible are medical services in your community? We're talking broadly here, Jeff, about general medicine, emergency care, specialty care, and prescription drugs. So the majority of survey respondents who saw this on jeffexchange.org or on our Facebook page, they said that they can get prescription medication pretty easily where they live. And that's the good news. About half said emergency care is easy to get as well, with the remainder saying it's difficult or even impossible. More than 80% of the people who took our survey said specialty care is only available with great difficulty or difficulty. And of those, half say it's totally inaccessible where they live in the state of Jefferson.
So let's get some idea of your experiences with healthcare. Tell us about something you got in a healthcare encounter, good or bad, and what it made you think about the system itself. Flip side of that is talk about something you did not get in a healthcare transaction, something you wish existed or did not in that case, or simply is something not available in your town. We've been hearing a fair amount of that, particularly from the South Coast. But let's get your picture about healthcare and the things that you wish it had, are glad it has, or wish it didn't have, for example. 800-838-3760 to share a healthcare story on Vents Day by phone. Email is jx@jeffnet.org.
I'm looking at survey responses here from Klamath Falls. Quite a few, actually, respondents from Klamath Falls with harrowing stories to tell, as well as all over the region, Eureka, Eugene, Redding, Ashland, Mount Shasta. We want to hear from you about the state of healthcare services where you live. A lot of issues got tied into these responses, Jeff, as well as the personal experiences, some questions about pricing, transparency, accessibility, and the ability to retain providers in these small communities.
So do you go to the doctor when you need to? If you don't, what stops you? Did you go to the emergency room instead? Do you just give up on medicine entirely? What are your issues with healthcare in America today in our region? Let's get your story at 800-838-3760. That's the phone number to call for Vents Day. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Short break. We'll come back and start taking phone calls and emails and giving out some of the survey responses in a minute 15.
Day 36 on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Emily Curitan, and it is Vents Day. This Wednesday, we're talking about your healthcare experiences in the state of Jefferson, both personal and zooming out from there. How would you like to see the system changed or improved in your community? Give us a call, 800-838-3760, or send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org.
We're rolling some California ballot measures in here as well, but more than anything else, we just want to get individual experiences with the healthcare system and things that have happened to you over the years in healthcare that took you by surprise. Maybe not so much the medical part of things, but maybe the billing part or the reimbursement part, the insurance part. There are so many facets to healthcare in this country, and they're all on the table here for your discussion on Vents Day.
Betsy in Curry County took our survey, available at jeffexchange.org and on Facebook. Betsy shares a somewhat harrowing experience with us. She says, after I moved to Curry County, I had a hard time identifying medical providers who would accept my insurance. I finally found a primary care provider at Curry Medical and saw him to establish care. During the visit, I asked him about a skin problem and he recommended a biopsy. The biopsy came back positive for malignant melanoma. The primary care doctor recommended I see a dermatologist, but I couldn't find one. I called several dermatology practices in Eureka and Medford, and they were all running about 6 months out for the next available appointment. So wow, 6 months to see a specialist for skin cancer from Betsy in Curry County. She says she was discouraged, but she didn't give up. Betsy again, I finally found a doctor who agreed to review my case and had my doctor's physician assistant fax him the biopsy report. I got a call a week later recommending that I see a general surgeon. I called the surgeon recommended by the dermatologist who is recommended by the primary care provider and got an appointment within another week. I packed a bag and took it with me when I went to the appointment and he was able to schedule my surgery the next day. So quite a runaround there for Betsy and Curry County.
It's an interesting story of wait, Zoom. When finally somebody said, oh, yeah, this is what you need, it happened in a hurry. But this is one of the issues, I think, that gets mentioned a lot in healthcare. And, of course, this is a region with a couple of cities of size, but everything else is pretty much small and rural. And we have a few backwaters here where medical services are not particularly robust, as we're finding, particularly from the survey respondents.
Mm-hmm. In particular, if you need specialty care, I think people who took our survey, they reported waiting for primary care and maybe not getting specialty care. We also asked people for solutions. How would they change it? What would they do differently? Betsy in Curry County, who had that experience waiting to have her skin cancer treated, says, if I was king, I would make significant changes at the state level to allow local governments more flexibility in land use decision and taxes in order to promote economic growth in the rural areas of the state. An improved economy would attract more physicians to this beautiful place. So there's Betsy's take on how to improve the situation. We want to get yours here on Vents Day, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
I have a number of responses that were airing here from the survey that we put out at the end of last week. So a few people have gotten a hold of us already. We do have a phone call as well from people who are now having a chance to leave messages on our advanced line. If it can't be around for Vents Day itself, we can take those as well. But most of these responses from the survey, we want to hear from you now. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org.
We did have a pre-taped live call-in segment to this, so that could get a little confusing. But we got a voicemail from a gentleman who talks about some confusion in the way that charges, pricing, and cost transparency works in our healthcare system, both here in the state of Jefferson and beyond that. Let's hear from him now.
I went in for an ultrasound a couple years ago, and I had to pay for it myself. So I asked for the insurance rate, saying, I'll give you a check when I'm done, or I'll give you cash as soon as we're done. He said, okay, here it is, $500. And then my insurance company, because I did still have insurance, billed them, even though my deductible was high enough that I was going to have to pay, but the insurance rate was only $250. And I felt deceived by the person at the ultrasound office just looking me straight in the eye and saying, yep, this is the insurance rate, when it wasn't. Money. That's the problem with our healthcare system.
So what problems do you see with our healthcare system, either on the financial end or on the healthcare delivery end? I mean, we're talking now 2 years, nearly three, into the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as it is often called. Join us on the exchange to give us your thoughts about the way the system has improved, if it has changed at all, or not improved. And again, it may not have changed at all. Your perception about the way healthcare has gone in your lifetime in the last couple of years, give us a sense of where you think things are headed. 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org.
That last caller brings in an interesting fold of the discussion, which is the cost of healthcare, both to patients and to the people that have to bill those patients. Doctors and insurance companies and hospital systems often locked into a very opaque negotiation or battle royale, however you want to look at it, over who pays what for which kinds of services. There is a ballot measure in California that gets to that point on some level, dealing with prescription drug pricing. And this one is at the center of one of the most expensive ballot measure ballots for 20 battles for 2016, and possibly within California's history. It's at a time when big pharma charges for drugs. What they charge is a very contentious issue, and the combined amount of money raised by the support and opposition campaigns for this proposition is $68 million so far.
That's a lot of money. So the essence of this, though, is that what California wants to do is say that the state will pay no more for drugs than what the Veterans Administration, Department of Veterans Affairs, pays for drugs.
That's right. We're talking about Proposition 61, of course, called the Drug Price Standards Initiative. It's meant to keep a lid on the drug prices paid by the state, starting with the contracts negotiated through the VA. Prop 61 would prevent state agencies from entering into contracts with drug companies unless the price paid is the same or lower than the special discounts provided by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And just to be clear, this measure only applies to drugs bought through state agencies and does not apply to purchases made by individuals unless the state reimburses them and is the ultimate payer.
So this gets back to something that was missing when Medicare Part D went into effect during the Bush administration, which was the ability for drug company or for the government to negotiate with drug companies on prices. What California is saying is, yes, we do want the lower prices. So it's an effort to keep the costs down, although obviously there are concerns about it. And a lot of money being spent as well to try to defeat this.
Yeah, that's that $68 million in this election cycle alone stands to possibly become California's most expensive ballot measure battle. And it's worth emphasizing that this measure, Proposition 61, places no obligation on drug manufacturers themselves to sell prescription drugs to the state at the lowest VA price. Instead, the burden is on the state, which would only be allowed to buy any prescription drugs for the lowest price paid by the VA if the measure passes or the proposition passes.
And of course, this comes at a time in history when you've heard a couple of major news stories. The name Martin Shkreli comes attached to one of these, where a drug that has been out there for a long time gets its price raised suddenly and sharply, with the drug company owner saying, this is just what people should be paying for this. The EpiPen, that whole dust up recently with the company that makes the pens that contain epinephrine to keep people from dying from allergy attacks. The price got raised on that suddenly. So drug price is always a big deal in the American healthcare system. Let's turn this around to your experience. Tell us what you have put up with or been pleased by, either way, in the healthcare system, and share your story here on Vince Day. 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org.
We got a response here from Katrina in Klamath Falls. She shares her story of accessing health care in Klamath County. Katrina says, I have Oregon Health Plan, which was expanded to cover single adults without dependents under the Affordable Care Act. I've had it for several years now, and I use it only as a catastrophic event coverage because finding a good general practitioner in my area is basically impossible. So we want to know from you, how accessible is general medicine where you live? What about specialty care? Give us a call, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
We have an email here from Reese. I'm not sure of the town. Reese says, I wish the media didn't use the enrollment numbers of national health care as indicating a metric of it working in quotes. Citizens are penalized with a fine if they don't have any health care coverage, so saying more people are covered now and saying that means the program is great is like saying Kim Jong-un is great because he was elected by 100% of the vote. People don't have a choice. I would prefer that we have a single-payer health care coverage system, and the polls when our new system was being proposed show the majority of the public wanted that. This is always a refrain we hear when we talk about health care is, why not single-payer? Why not something like Medicare for all? And it is something that seems to take a while to gather some traction in this country. But what do you think? Single payer, is that the way to go? Is Obamacare a good way on a step on the pathway to that system? 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
I'd like to go back to Katrina in Klamath Falls, who enrolled through the Oregon Health Plan in a coordinated care organization, or a CCO. Jeff, this is sort of a new form being developed as we debate how to pay for and provide health care in this country. The idea is for patients to establish a medical home, essentially one office that becomes a gateway by referral to all other medical services, including their specialty care. Supporters say this keeps costs down and incentivizes keeping people healthy rather than being paid for services that they only need if they're sick or being diagnosed with a disease. But Katrina in Klamath Falls has not had a great experience with her CCO. She says she tried to utilize the one provider she was assigned, didn't like it, and now she's self-managing her care and paying out of pocket for chiropractic specialty care.
All right, we have a call here from Marie in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking healthcare on Vince Day. Hi, Marie.
Good morning.
Hi.
I, along with many other people in Oregon, have Lyme disease. Southern Oregon has a support group with hundreds of members. But if you see a physician, you're told Lyme disease does not exist in Oregon. Even with a positive test, my MD looked at me and said, if you want treated, you have to leave the state.
Wow. Really? So the general thrust of the discussion is that there's no Lyme disease in Oregon. It doesn't exist here.
Well, funny thing, the health department refused to report mine because I had lived out of state 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And physicians that have supported patients are investigated by the licensing organization.
Wow, that is an amazing story. Go ahead, Marie.
They're afraid to treat.
All right. Thanks for sharing the details on that. That sounds like a fairly awful situation. And maybe you have one you'd like to share with us as well. Is there some situation you've taken to medical attention and the medical attention you got was not what you hoped it was? Or was it better than you hoped it was? 800-838-3760 to share your healthcare story with us by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org.
We are reaching right now into some of the more difficult moments in people's lives. Patty in Klamath Falls says she's been put off getting any medical care because the appointments she's offered are several weeks out. Melody, also in Klamath Falls, says that my son was diagnosed as type 1 diabetic last year. He's 16. My doctor kept saying there are no endocrinologists in Klamath Falls. So Melody and her family having to travel to get care there. We want to hear your story, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Transportation is an issue that comes up over and over and over again in this discussion.
Truly limits the access to healthcare.
Yeah.
All right, a call here from Rebecca in Lane County. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. I live about 18 miles west of Eugene. I guess it's rural residential. And I think we have really great health care in this area. We have a couple of good hospitals, and I've never had trouble getting any care at all, although I've never had anything serious, knock wood. But also, the care is easy to get to. We also have some doctors in Bonita and Junction City, and so it's a really good place. I worked for many years for a company who had really good health insurance. And so I think I've been really lucky here.
Is there good public transportation in where you live, Rebecca?
There's out here near in the Veneta area. It's not great, but it's going to be better because they're going to have the EMX that's going to come out west this way. In town, there's great public transportation if you live in the more city, Eugene Springfield suburban area, then there's plenty of public transportation. Yeah,
I guess where I was going was if you didn't have a car, would it be a little harder to get access to health care like you enjoy now?
Yeah, it would be. If you didn't have a car where I am now, it'd be pretty rough, because I'm about 8 miles from Bonita, and that's where there's a general practitioners are, but there's no real specialist unless you go 18, 20 miles at least into Eugene. Mm-hmm. And there is a bus that runs out here, but it'd be rough. Yeah.
All right, Rebecca, thanks for sharing the story. Good to hear from you.
And that positive experience is nice to hear here in a sort of sea of survey responses from our region, Eureka, Eugene, Redding, Ashland, Mount Shasta, mostly people who have had somewhat negative experiences, but there seems to be quite a bit of difference across the region in terms of what's available. Specialty care, though, in this part of Oregon and Northern California, definitely not something that grows on trees. Julianne in Eureka says, providers don't seem to stay in our area. I had a rheumatologist, but she retired. Next, I had a replacement. A year later, she left our area. There's no replacement for her or anyone in Humboldt County. So we either drive 5 hours to the south or we just deal with it. What have your experiences been? A few minutes left here on Vents Day, 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org to send an email.
I have an email here from Joe in Talent who says, what I've noticed on several occasions when my kids went in for doctor's visits without me, the billing clerk demanded full payment, not just the copay. The last visit, my son was given a bill for $400 to have a sore throat checked and was told if he didn't pay then, he faced collections. We have insurance, so I told him to pay the copay and leave. Our insurance got involved, and once the billing was reviewed by them, the actual bill was $250 and our balance was $60. far short of the $400 demanded. Part of the complaint with modern healthcare delivery here in the U.S. is greed, and it was surely on exhibit in this instance, says Joe in Talent. What's your experience with the healthcare system or the payment for it? 800-838-3760 to join us by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org, and talk about whether things have changed since the advent of Obamacare in early 2014.
Let's go to a call, Jeff. How about Rex in Mount Shasta? You're on the air.
Yes, I thought we should talk about the general overall view of guided self-health care.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most valuable advice that I've had from doctors is really pretty simple stuff, and some of my very best was from nurse practitioners. And just telling me how to take care of myself, we had a lot of good advice in Boy Scouts and some in the Army, but I really didn't get, I don't think I got any really valuable information from the school system.
All right, so by, you know, general self-health care, just, you know, your own health maintenance then we're talking about here, right?
I think the government could really get involved in a good way by utilizing the internet to self-education, guided self-health care.
All right, thanks for that, Rex. Appreciate it. We have an email here from Diane in Hines in Oregon. Who writes that here in Harney County, it's a similar vein. We have a growing obese problem with the attendant diabetes and heart problems dependent on physicians, nurses, and hospital emergency rooms. What we do not have is enough people that understand that these problems can be mitigated, if not solved, through exercise and diet, which would make them feel better and take the burden off our providers. This is often left out of the dialogue about healthcare, says Diane and Hines.
I like that Diane and Rex are both getting at ideas about solutions. That's another thing we were asking people about in our online survey this week. Sarah in Mount Shasta goes to a policy point. She says, raise the Medicare and Medi-Cal reimbursement rates, incentivize geriatrics and rural healthcare for interns and residents in training.
The geriatrics one was one that really stuck out to me in the survey, because I remember reading years ago about the fact that there aren't as many geriatricians, not as many people taking up the specialty of geriatrics at a very time in history when you've got the entire baby boom generation moving off into retirement. And so they need geriatricians and not that many available.
And there have been some creative ways to try to connect specialists with patients in rural areas or places where there's more people seeking services than there are people to provide them. Telemedicine was brought up by Julianne in Eureka. She seems to have a somewhat skeptical view of its ability to really help people when you can't have your doctor actually lay hands on you. We want to know what you think. Let's go to a call. We've got Carrie and Fortuna on the line.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to continue with, you had a caller from Eureka who had to, you know, about the rheumatologist leaving. I had that very same rheumatologist, and she retired, and I had a flare-up of my disease. I see now a rheumatologist in Reading, but that's your only option, either Santa Rosa or Reading. And I just bared it and just dealt with the pain. And unfortunately, in the time that I waited to see the rheumatologist, my hip, the joint is pretty much gone, and I have to have a hip replacement. And that, again, has been difficult. I had one surgeon decline to treat me. I'm not sure. There was no reason given. And I finally did get in. I'm going to be able to see someone today, but I've been waiting 2 months. And I have basically no left hip joint left, and I had to stop working because of it. And my thought of something that we could do to, in these rural areas, potentially, and I don't know if this is the case now, but, you know, I know for teachers who go in to teach into underserved urban areas, they do some student loan forgiveness. So perhaps, you know, to keep, to recruit and retain some of our specialists and physicians in these rural areas, perhaps we could do the same thing here.
We have talked to some doctors actually in the Humboldt Bay area who've been brought in through just those kinds of programs.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of, is that enough to keep them beyond their early career, I think, is what happens. And Carrie, thank you for sharing your story. We hope that you manage to get the care that you need and stay well and get comfortable. On this Vents Day, looks like we've got one more call here from John in Vinita.
Hi, John.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, welcome to The Exchange.
People always go off on the isms, you know, socialism, communism, all this. But, you know, the police, fire protection, the military, I guess you could kind of, you know, file them under that. Why in the hell can't we take care of our own people? I am a very libertarian-type person, but I believe in the single-payer situation as it could be. But the only way it could be is you'd have to do something about accountability in government in this country, which is just basically not there. There's no way anybody like Kitzhaber should be able to squander hundreds of millions of dollars. How many people could that have helped medically?
On the Cover Oregon program, you mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then the affordable health care thing, too. You cannot. I mean, I've been around small business all my life. I was raised in families of that. You cannot add all the bureaucracy, all the government, all the more insurance, more people, more infrastructure, and have it become less of an expense. It's just absolutely ridiculous. But also, going back, well, the maintenance, physical maintenance, doctors and medical people doing that. I mean, we have fantastic medical people in this country. I'm so appreciative and thankful for it. But all the stuff that's in the way, but going back to that root thing, it can't happen without accountability.
All right,
people
thanks.
That have their hand in the cookie jar need to go to jail for a long time.
Okay, well, some clear feelings about government involvement in healthcare from John and Vanita.
This has been Vents Day. I'm Emily Curitan. If you wonder where our survey responses come from, follow us on Facebook and connect with the Jefferson Exchange that way.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking part in Vents Day. I'm Jeffrey Riley.